This is the Power Walk Ministries broadcast with author and speaker, Reverend Paul Cannings. Thanks for tuning in as we begin a new series titled, Standing on God's Promises. We live in a world that can produce much fear in us. Horrific incidents in our schools, grocery stores, malls, churches, and even our homes seem to be on the rise. Yet do we live in fear constantly, or just make it through each day carrying a load of stress? Challenging us to not only have a reverent fear of God and no other fear, Dr. Cannings encourages us to take a closer look at God's Word to Joshua. Let's listen as he brings us the message, Courage Under Fire.
The definition of courage provided by Webster's Dictionary is to conquer fear or overcoming despair, conquering despair. But the Bible, the definition is completely different. It's not the same as overcoming fear, because in the scriptures, the only fear that we will allow to have is a reverent fear of God. That's it. And that leads to wisdom, Proverbs would talk about. That leads to a sincere worship. That leads to honoring God and developing a life that leads to godliness. So the fear, there's several fears described in the scriptures. You got dreadful fear, terror fear, reverent fear. The one that God highlights for us as believers is to have reverent fear. It's not a terror fear. It's not where I'm afraid of God, so I'm doing this. I'm afraid of God, so I'm doing that. It's not that at all. It is just totally focused on one thing, and that is that I live my life with a consciousness of the love, but yet the power, yet the justice, but yet the righteousness of God and the omnipresence of God. That's the fear that he's focused on. So when we look at the Webster Dictionary and it says courage is conquering fear, it doesn't tie in to what God would talk about when he talks about courage in the Old Testament or the New Testament. For instance, in the Old Testament, the Bible would talk about Joshua struggling with fear. You're talking about taking over a position from Moses. Moses has such a history that lasted for 40 years of the mighty, powerful acts of God. It's incredible to come behind such a powerful leader that met with God in the tent of meeting, had these powerful and supernatural things that God did through him, to then come behind that person and lead a stubborn people to go into a promised land with giants that they have been afraid of and watch their family members die for 40 years. That is a daunting task. So Joshua was afraid. God literally said he is afraid. He tells him that. He says, Joshua, stop being afraid. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he's saying to Joshua, hey, you know what, Joshua, there's no need to be afraid. That is not what your focus needs to be, and that's not how you gain courage, by conquering fear. That's not the issue. The issue, he's saying to Joshua, is focus on obeying God. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that thou may observe and do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou makest prosper wherever thou goest. He said, don't let it go away from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, verse 8. Because at the bottom of verse 8, he says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. He is literally saying to him, Joshua, you don't have to worry about any of these obstacles you see in your way. You don't have to worry about the intimidation of coming behind Moses. You don't have to worry about crossing the Jordan and dealing with the giants and the walls of Jericho. That's all irrelevant, Joshua. The focus that you need to have is to focus on what I'm saying for you to do. Just concentrate, meditate on it, learn what it's telling you, get a good grasp on all that it's saying. That's why he wants us to meditate on it. And when you do so, focus your life on applying it. You see, when the Lord of hosts shows up and Joshua says, well, whose side are you on? Well, you're talking about different sides here. You need to line up with me. Joshua sees this mighty man, just powerful. It's obviously he is not somebody that you're going to go around playing with. And Joshua therefore wanted to line up with him and find out what side he's on. No, that's not how it works, Joshua. I am. There's no sides. I am, just like in the New Testament. I am the way, the truth, and the life. There's not another side. I am the way, the truth, that leads to life and life abundantly. This is the focus that he is driving us to when we talk about courage in the New Testament. You say, well, that's an Old Testament illustration, an analogy. No, no. You go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And in 1 Timothy chapter 6, this is a person who's been through one trial after the next. Paul's ministry that God literally told him is going to be like this. In Acts chapter 9, he said to him, says, Paul, your ministry is going to be horrible. You're going to have one crisis situation after another because you're going to a group of people. And you are going to tell them about Jesus the Christ, and it's a pagan nations. The Jews were not willing to stand you offering this freedom of walking with God. They're not going to like you. The Gentiles are going to grasp to you, but some of them are going to want to know what kind of a weird information this is. And you're going to have a horrible ministry in terms of one trial after another trial after another trial. So when Paul is writing this to us, you're talking about a person who had to overcome major obstacles. Constantly. So this is the person who writes to us courage. He tells a young preacher in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12, he said, there's only one fight, Timothy. There are going to be a multitude of trials. Don't act like something strange is happening to you. This is the way it's going to be. The issue in the scriptures is not having courage to overcome fear. The scriptures are saying there's only one fight to fight. And that is the will. That's just the problem with Genesis. It was God gave us a free will. They didn't have to drag Adam to the tree and Eve to the tree of good and evil. Satan met them there. Satan met them. They already showed a desire to check this out. Curiosity drew them. They had to be talked into picking from the tree because God made them in a perfect state. But their free will drew them out of curiosity to that tree. So the issue is the will of man. Will I serve God or will I not? The issue is in fear. He says in verse 12, he says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of the eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. This is the charge I'm giving you, Timothy. And don't forget now, Timothy is dealing with all kinds of situations. You know, he's got people striving with him. And 2 Timothy, he has to tell him not to quit because Timothy is sick of all of it and he wants to quit. But he's saying, no, Timothy, you can't do that. It's only one fight. Fight the good fight. The good fight of faith. Folks, the issue when we come to courage and dealing with day-to-day struggles and dealing with the pain that life can bring is not about what we are facing. It's about the person inside of us that we need to surrender to, the Holy Spirit, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. That's the decision. And once we've made that decision, the Word of God does not return void. I like the way it is brought out in this story. It's a little boy. It was thundering and lightning and the house, you know, just shaking with thunder. It was just really loud. And the mother just putting him to bed, you know, just spent some time hugging him, kissing him, tucking him in, just being patient with him, understanding. So he looks at his mommy as she walks out the door. He goes, Mommy, would you stay with me? Please just sleep with me this night. She says, no, baby. I have to go sleep with daddy. And he looks at her strange and he lies back down. And as the mother turns away from the bed and is walking away, he says, that big sissy. You see, the issue for the young boy was all of the storms and the trials and the difficulties that was going on, when technically all of that was cared for in the fact that he was in his bed, in the house with mom and dad present. It was in his imagination was going crazy, as any child would. But his focus should have been on the hey, I got a dad and mom here, and they love me, and you know what? I'm fine, because they're here, and they will watch out for me, and my room is not far. That was irrelevant. He was more focused on the noise outside. He was more focused on how it shook the house a little bit. He was not focused on who kept everything together for him in that structure. Christ is saying there's going to be a lot of noise. Satan is a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But you must be steadfast in the faith. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 all the way to verse 11. Steadfast in the faith. Focus on resisting the attacks by wearing the armor of God. because that's your victory. We are fully equipped for battle. The issue is, are we going to trust the equipment, or are we going to focus on who's in front of us in the battle, or what's in front of us in the battle? Let me give you a quick rundown on that. Number one, in Psalm 34, verse 1 through 9, angels are encamped around us. The writer of Hebrews is going to highlight that in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. We have angels surround us. So whenever we choose to abide in God, we choose to walk with our minds fixed on God, committed to do the things of God. The Bible says because we choose to live in righteousness, He will put angels who encamp around us. That's why there was a hedge around Job and Satan couldn't get through. There were angels encamped around him. He couldn't get through. The Bible says he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. The word of God never returns void. Only when we tell wonderful stories and milk it down, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, we make it empty. But when we keep it as truth, it's a sword that is powerful. It can divide bone and marrow. It is that powerful. The word of God cannot be stopped. It doesn't wither away, 1 Peter chapter 1 would say. It is always around. So the word of God cannot be come out empty or diluted when we are committed to obey it and walk in it. I love this passage of scripture. He would say in Colossians chapter 1 that we live in Christ. Christ lives in God. And we have 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5 through 7, 7, He is poured into us. Ephesians chapter 1 says we have all spiritual blessings. We are well equipped. That we don't lack anything. We talked about that not too long ago in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 through 21. We don't lack anything. We have to stop thinking we lack anything. That's why Paul would say, work out what delivers you in fear and trembling. Salvation, deliverance, in fear and trembling. Work that out. And when we work that out, the Bible is saying, yeah, now we are powerfully moving forward. Yes, there's trials. Yes, there's difficulties. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit will look out for us. Don't listen to the noise. Enjoy the security that God provides. I love this verse, folks, and I pray that you would think about this as we close today. The fear of a man brings a snare, but whoever trusts the Lord will be safe. The fear of a man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. Stay focused.
The fear of man brings a snare. Dr. Paul Canning says that's God's warning to us. Friends, I pray that we will trust God's word more and more in our spiritual walk and know that we really do not have anything to fear when God is for us. For a copy of this message, please visit us online at powerwalkministries.org. That's powerwalkministries.org. And while you're there, browse through all of our ministry resources. If you have any questions or would like to speak to someone about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then please call us at 281-260-7402. That's 281-260-7402. Please join us each day this week as we go through this five-part series on Standing on God's Promises. And now remember, when faced with insurmountable obstacles and seeming giants in our own lives, we too can be strong and of good courage.